And what I've decided to do is that hymn, I thank John, this time I did ask for a hymn, and John kindly consented to play this one for me. And the exhortation that I've chosen this morning is preaching the truth, and each and every one of us should be involved in that. Right now, at this very moment, ecclesias all around the world are witnessing prophecies being fulfilled right before their very eyes. The time of the kingdom is drawing near, and the time of man is drawing to an end. And it would be very silly of us to think that we are the only ones noticing this deterioration of the world and its population. People all over the world are asking for the answers that we've already got. We've been privileged to have these answers. Truly, these times are ripe for preaching the truth according to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, right now, should be a time for ecclesias to look outward instead of inward, and to spend as much energy as possible in spreading the hope of the kingdom. What has changed since the ecclesias of the first century and the ecclesias that exist now? There should be no difference. We are under the same commandments as of Christ that was preached by Paul, by Timothy, by the others. We know that the first century ecclesias was a loving, praying and preaching ecclesia. It was an ecclesia that was so loving, so giving, that they wanted everyone to know about their Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wonderful message that he brought. They wanted everyone to know the glory of the kingdom of God. Right now, the world is looking for answers. They are thirsting for a desire for peace and tranquility. The world thirsts, and there is water that can cure that thirst forever. And we read in John chapter 4, we have Jesus at the well talking to the woman, and it reads, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. What a great metaphor we have. Those who partake of this water shall never thirst, and the word of life gushes forth from those who have it, like a spring gushing water, following unceasing without effort. When a person becomes knowledgeable in the truth and believes the word of God, there is a change in that person. Or actually, there should be. There is an inner peace and joy, and it's so powerful that we want to share it with all that we meet, everyone that we meet. It's a pleasure to tell people just how much our Creator loves us and will take care of us no matter what. Let's turn our Bibles to Acts chapter 4, where we see the rulers and the elders and scribes figuring out what they are going to do with these men teaching the resurrection through their Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Acts chapter 4, verse 15, we read, and this is one that I always love, you know, it's, if you stop and think about it, it is absolutely unbelievable. And it says, but when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But it is spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them, that they speak therefore to no one in his name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing, how they might punish them because of the people. For all people, all men glorify God for what for which was done. In a nutshell, what they were saying is that a miracle had been performed, we've done now. And how are we going to stop you doing it again? And what they had to say, you know, what these apostles had to say, they couldn't hold back. It flowed out of them like water from a spring. And what they had to tell everyone was so important that they could think of nothing else. For they said, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were not worried as to what people might say, or that they would be abused verbally or physically. They weren't worried about that. They knew God was watching over them. You might say to yourself, in your heart or to yourself, I don't have the ability to speak well with people, or maybe I don't have the answers that I might be asked. Brothers and sisters, we don't have to be eloquent. We don't have to be eloquent speakers or have a competent understanding of everything in the Bible to be able to go out and spread the word. We don't. Many times, a brother or a sister who has been recently baptized has brought others into the truth, not with great knowledge of everything, but by people recognizing their sincerity and their zeal. Paul tells us in his letter to the Corinthians that they had to preach, that what they had to preach was simple, not clouded with a lot of formalities. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, it tells us, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until this day it remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which God has done away in Christ. The message we have to preach is plain and simple, and it is a light unto the world. Believe and be baptized. We have all been given a candle to light the way in a dark world. And Luke tells us in Luke chapter 11, verse 33, and we only saw that a few days ago, no man, when he has lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. You are the light. You are standing out as a beacon. According to the word of God, it would not be Christ-like if we did not share this light with others. So we might ask the question, what tools do we need to preach the truth? Well, Timothy gives us an idea in chapter 3, in verse 16 and 17. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And the key phrase in these verses is, for instruction in righteousness. The Bible is the instructions we need to accomplish the goal we have. Just as we are given instructions on how to operate an appliance or to operate a piece of machinery, we are given instructions to operate our lives in a righteous way. It brings to mind the saying, you know, if all else fails, read the instruction. Well, that's true. You know, myself, I'm terrible at that. I'll really nearly demolish the machinery, and then I better read the instructions, see what they've got to say. And it is totally different to what I was doing. And that's sometimes the fault that we all have. And we are reminded in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reproof, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. We should be able to preach the word not only when it suits us, but even when it doesn't suit us. It's easy to have the opportunity to speak with someone only to pass it by because we're too tired or have some other excuse. Then we have to ask ourselves, are we putting our priorities in order? So, are we sharing this great opportunity that we've been given? You and I have been given. We should be taking advantage of every chance that we have, whether we think the time is right or not, or that person just won't listen to what we have to say. Our duty is to get out and tell everyone, and the decision is up to him or her But they can't make a decision if they don't know about it, if we don't tell them about it. They cannot make a decision. I'm very much reminded of a brother once at the Bible school told us he went a long distance from home, and there was a sister in isolation living in this town that he went to. So he decided to go and visit her and maybe do a reading with her or have a cup of tea with her. And he went to a place of work, and she was duly called to the front counter, and she was taking him to her office. And as they were walking down the passage, she leant over and whispered and said, "Don't tell anybody I'm a Christadelphian. I haven't told anybody." And she thought she was so clever keeping it a secret, when in actual fact she should have been doing the other way around, you know. And sometimes we might be in exactly the same boat. Brothers and sisters, when we were baptized, we put on a new person and became a representative of Christ. You and I became representatives of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 15 it says, "And that he died for all, that they would live not henceforth, live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." And Paul in Romans tells how he felt that he owed it to the people to preach the good news of the coming kingdom. In Romans chapter 1 he says, "I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks." And in his letter to the Galatians, Paul explains that God revealed the Son unto him who could preach unto the Gentiles. In Galatians chapter 1 verse 15 he says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the nations, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Just as Paul became knowledgeable about Christ, so he could preach to the nations. Likewise, we have the same duty to preach to the generations of our time. We are witnesses to Christ and should set an example in our lifetime and in our lifestyle and how we should talk. We may be the only Bible that some people have the opportunity to read. When we speak, there should be a simplicity and a godly sincerity in what we have to say. When Jesus spoke to the people, he spoke so that they could understand, in the same way as a carpenter from Nazareth would talk to his friends. There is nothing fancy in his speech, and there shouldn't be with us. And what opportunities do we have in our life? Well, we certainly want to share the good news with our families. We all have uncles and aunts or cousins that might be interested, but in what way, what we have to say, if only we get out and say it. Say it to them. People that we've approached in the past might now be ready to accept the word. In the past they might have said, "No, I'm not interested." But now they are. It is not for us to decide who should hear and who shouldn't. That's not our decision to make. If we have the love for everyone that we should have, and then we should be ready to talk at all times to those who will listen. One of the greatest things that speak out for us is the way we conduct our lives. We should be an example of the truth we're trying to spread. It is said that action speaks louder than words, and that is true. And more than one brother or sister has come into the truth by the exemplary lives of others. And we know that is true. Just as Christ is our example, so we should be to others. All of us learned the truth because someone had the love and the desire to show us a better way. Or, brothers and sisters, we wouldn't be here. I would like to end this with a passage from John chapter 17, verse 17. And that was a prayer of Jesus before his crucifixion. And he said, and And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sake I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through thy truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world which believe that thou hast, may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I and them, thou and me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Brethren and sisters, we have been chosen to be part of God's plan because of his love for us. You and I have been chosen. And because of this love, we gather around this table to remember the sacrifice made for us. What a joyful news to tell our friends and all those around us. And as we sang just a little while ago, reading from verse 4, long as my life shall last, teach me thy way. Wherever my lot be cast, teach me thy way. Until the race is run, until the journey is done, until the crown is won, teach me thy way.